Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Sometimes I feel like I don't have a partner. Sometimes I feel like my only friend is the city I live in, the city of angels. Lonely as I am, together we cry.
Red Hot Chili Peppers making their debut as your artist of the day. Telephone number here is 576-7798.
We have an update to a story we first brought you a few months ago. And I don't know, you're already laughing. You remember this story, Scott. Mm-hmm, yeah. It's not funny.
I'm not laughing. I'm just laughing. From the Kansas City Star, six Kansas City Public Works employees accused of generating more than $58,000 in overtime for responding to mostly bogus reports of damaged street signs have each pleaded guilty, according to federal prosecutors. Prentice Rayford, Eric McCamey, Edward Ellenberg, all pleaded guilty to participating in conspiracy to commit wire fraud. Co-defendants Paul Myers, Kenneth Gethers, and Julio Prospero also pleaded guilty to their roles in the case.
It's wire fraud because payroll goes through the computer system from state to state.
Correct. The six, who were employees of the city's public works sign division, were part of an overtime fraud conspiracy that ran from January 2013 to November of 2016. The workers, their friends and relatives, would call the city to report damaged street signs that were considered essential in order to generate overtime work.
So they would call in fake calls and say, oh my gosh, this street sign is down again.
A supervisor with the Signs Division of Public Works began to suspect in the summer of 2016 that reports of down signs were kind of unnecessary or false.
They were downed all over the city.
During that time, prosecutors said about 75% of all callouts were found to be fraudulent. The signs were fine. They were not knocked over. They were not damaged.
Going back out to fix a sign.
Now, occasionally a sign was found to be down, but was not repaired until the following work day. Managers also tracked the GPS on the work trucks and often found that the trucks did not go to the scene of the reported downed sign. Other times, GPS indicated that the trucks traveled to the location, but did not stop or did not stop long enough for the sign to be repaired.
It's more like a rolling stop.
Yes. Well, sign's still there.
Yeah, there it is, right there on the grass.
But what we're missing here is they had friends and family in on this scheme.
Mm-hmm. Incredibly crafty.
It really is.
Yet lazy on the follow-up.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not even going to go and, you know, post the truck up there for the time necessary to fix that sign, mm-hmm. I mean,
they didn't want to actually work the overtime. They just wanted to be paid for the overtime.
How about you knock the damn sign down?
Well, then we're talking destruction of property and vandalism.
All of a sudden, the vans are there for too long.
Destruction of property and vandalism. And wire fraud.
This went on for 3 years. My question is, how long did it take the supervisor to figure out that we went from having, I don't know, three calls a week about downed signs around the city to 35 calls a week? And the voices always sounded suspiciously similar.
Well, we got another sign down.
Didn't I just talk to you yesterday?
Man, that sign at 55th and Brookside keeps going down. I don't know what it is about that sign.
I don't know how to
And so it does not appear, and I don't know what the charge would have been, that any of the fake phone caller inners were charged as well.
Correct.
These were just the city workers that were charged.
Correct.
So the friends and the family, and I'm guessing somebody got something for that. I don't know. But if you roped a friend in to call, what, do you kick them $20 a sign? I'm asking. I don't know because I've never committed wire fraud.
But here's the funny thing is, so think about this. 3 years, okay? Six people involved.
Mm-hmm.
$58,000 total in overtime, which is taxed.
Correct.
So when you think about it,
they're all going to prison for less than
$3,000 a year.
$3,000 a year each. Correct. You want to know the punishment? And you said six people were involved. It's way more than that because they had friends and family calling in to report the signs.
Six people who were getting the
punishment.
Overtime.
Yes.
Well, who were getting the overtime. So you have $58,000, six people over 3 years. Okay, so it's $10,000 per roughly, actually a little less. Then you have to take that $10,000 over 3 years. So you're looking at, we'll say, $3,300 per. And then you have to take the taxes out. You're making maybe
correct.
$2,000 a year.
They're going to or could go to prison for what amounts to peanuts.
Right.
According to the terms of the plea agreement, each defendant must forfeit to the government any proceeds they each obtained from the scheme.
Mm. Couldn't the caller enters be tagged for being
yes.
an accomplice or conspiracy?
Yes, they could have.
They could. Do you want to go through all that?
That's a lot of paperwork.
It's yeah. a lot of paperwork for what's going to amount to not a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Sentencing hearings have not been announced.
What's
the
fair?
Dates for that?
What's fair? They're government employees who stole from the government fraudulently. And keep in mind, this is wire fraud, so it's a federal offense. You and I have covered
How
enough.
How do you go back and prove, Scott, that on that Tuesday, your overtime was fake, when on Wednesday, the overtime might have been actual overtime?
You don't really have to do that. What you have to do is just prove that over the course of time, they were calling in
fake calls,
fake signs. So once somebody is onto their scheme, somebody says, well, there's a stop sign down at 75th and Osage. And then you just say, okay, send somebody else to 75th and Osage.
Let's go look.
Is there a sign really down?
No.
No, it's not down. Okay, send them anyway. All right, what did they do? Did they put it up?
Slow roll.
Yeah, they slow rolled through the intersection and still billed us for it.
Isn't that how they caught them?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know.
Good fiver?
No.
Good one?
There are people who have killed people who've not gotten 5 years, and I'm not saying I'm okay with that.
Reality TV show?
No. God, no. 6 months.
6 months in the federal pen.
And they have to pay it back, which... Okay.
Oh, wow. Damn.
I think
you're going to make me pay $2,000?
I think some of them will skate with no time.
Okay.
Maybe one or two of them get six months.
Well, then if this isn't really that big of a deal,
then why go to all the trouble? Then why go to all the trouble?
And why are we talking about it?
Because I'm guessing they wanted to make an example out
because
of...
Because it is a violation
yes?
of the public's trust.
You don't think there's a violation of the public money going on every single second of every single day?
Yes, and I think those people should be punished.
I'm not saying they shouldn't be punished. I just don't think it's going to be a substantial amount of time.
I say because I think violating the public trust is one of the greatest crimes you can commit, and I'm not comparing it to rape or murder, so don't even bother. What I'm saying is violating the public's trust and stealing the public's taxpayer dollar is such an egregious crime to me. Here's my proposed punishment. I'm neither a lawyer nor a judge. 2 years, full restitution, and a fine of $10,000.
Which you will never see because I'm guessing if they had the money that you're talking about, they wouldn't have embezzled from their employer.
Their employer happened to be the people of Jackson County in Kansas City, Missouri.
I'm not saying it's okay. I just don't think it's going to be a substantial sentence.
And Dana, I know you're not saying it's okay. And I freely admit that. I find violations of the public trust to be an egregious crime.
I flip the question around and ask it this way. When it started out, did they think they were going to make millions? And not that that would make most people break the law. I think most people don't break the law because they're law-abiding citizens and they just don't break the law. But did they start out thinking we're going to get rich off this?
Let's
involve six people and really risk our freedom?
I don't know.
For $3,000 when after it's taxed is really not even that. $2,000.
$2,200. Yeah.
It really doesn't make sense, does it?
No.
Well, here's the honest to God truth, though. Say we put them in jail for a year, 6 months, 2 years. We're going to spend more on keeping them in jail than they took in the first place.
Fair point.
And it won't be jail. It will be federal
prison. It'll be federal prison.
So way more. My apologies.
576-7798. They didn't take that much. Let's be honest. It was $58,000 over 3 years between six guys.
But we have church secretaries who've stolen millions over the years, and not in Kansas City necessarily, although we've had that. Across the country, this white collar, I'm going to take just a little here and a little there, happens all the time. Is it worse because the employer is the government?
We sent Adam Taff, the would-be congressman.
For 2 years.
2 years.
For lying about a mortgage.
For lying about a mortgage.
I know.
Who was really hurt?
Because most people, Scott, when they commit this type of crime, do not understand that it's wire fraud. You think wire fraud and you think, oh, that's something that like huge, big criminals do. Like,
all you have to do is all you have to do
sign your name on your paycheck.
Well, all you have to do is either email or fax a document from one state to the next
that you know
that is false.
Is false.
That's right.
And you're going to federal prison if they choose to prosecute you.
Correct. 576-7798. Sam Stevie the Third, Dana Wright. I am Scott Parks on KMBZ. We got your in-store microwave oven, custom kitchen delivery. We got to move these refrigerators. We got to move these color TVs. The vision here on the call line. Gladly. Andy in Kansas City. Hello, Andy.
Hi. Okay, so I'm only 18, so I recognize that I've got, like, a lot of stuff still to learn. But from what it sounds like, we would be spending way more money than they embezzled to be keeping them into our already overcrowded federal prisons. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They breached the trust of the community. And so I think, like, the only real way that we're going to see that money coming back to us is if they're forced into a few years of mandatory community service, because otherwise they're not going to regain that trust from the community already, but at least this way they're making it back up to us.
Yeah.
Fair point. How does an 18-year-old find their way to talk radio?
My parents listened to it in the car, and I just kind of, like, got onto it. So now even though I've already moved out and stuff, I still listen to you guys every afternoon. I still listen to Jamie and Grayson on my lunch break, and I listen to the morning show on my way to work.
Well, we are happy to have you, Andy.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Have a good day, you guys.
All right, you do the same. Thanks, Andy. Let's go to Kevin in Olathe. Hello, Kevin.
Scotty P and D-Dubs. How y'all doing?
Hey, what are you doing?
Stop.
That's the best intro for a call ever.
I haven't been called Scotty P since Don Glasgow called me that at KU when I was still in college.
Actually, I called in about something a couple years ago, and actually I opened with that. So
did you say Dana? Did you say Dana what?
D-Dubs.
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 Scotty P and D-Dubs.
Go ahead.
Anyway, yeah, I think these guys should definitely be punished, but I don't think they should have any jail time. What I think should happen is, obviously, they have to pay back whatever they earned, but I also think they should have to pay back any mileage, so from the base station to wherever the sign would be located, whether they went there or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think they should also have to do, like, I don't know, for example, 100 hours of community service, but their community service should be fixing signs for the city for free.
There you go.
Ooh, I like this idea.
Very good. I'm also curious for any of you listening who have GPS in your cars. So if you have a city car or an employer-owned car that you use, did these people not understand that GPS was in all of the cars? And Scott, they had to understand it, because I'm guessing if you work for the city, you use that GPS to help you get around to repair the signs that were actually in need of repair.
True, Dana, but I think there might be a difference between, oh, we got to get to 75th and Osage, and here's my phone, let me just plug it in, and, which I already know where it is because we just called it in, even though it's not real.
Right.
But I think there's a difference between using GPS on your phone and then attaching a tracking GPS device to the vehicle that you may not know is there.
It's a security thing.
I would assume if I worked for the city, there was some type of GPS in that car. I would assume that.
I think for any vehicle that you're being given for a job, you should
assume
that.
You almost assume it, yeah.
Prosecutors said four of the defendants...
These guys aren't that smart, are they?
Used a phone app to disguise their numbers when they called the 311 Action Center to report a problem. Can I get your name, please?
Tom.
Not Rayford or McCamey or Ellenberg or Prospero.
My name's Bob. Bob what? Oh, just Bob.
Hi, Bob. My name's Bob.
Can you imagine?
You want the complaint or not?
The disguised voices that they probably used.
All right, no, wait.
Over the course of 3 years to make all of these phone calls.
All right, I want you to close your eyes, and you too, Sam. I want you both to close your eyes.
Yes.
Dana, you say into the microphone 311, yes. And I want you to tell me if you think, close your eyes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
If you think you could distinguish that this was my voice.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes, 311 Action Center. How may I help you?
This is Bill.
Yes, Bill, what seems to be the problem?
Yeah, signed down at 33rd and College.
Again?
Yeah, again.
Sir, 33rd and College are parallel.
Bill, sir, where do you live, sir?
What does that matter?
Oh, close your eyes.
Bill, you're being awfully evasive.
There's a sign down at 33rd and College. Mm-hmm. Do you want to fix it or not tonight?
No. Okay, thank you, sir. I'll pass it along.
Do you think you would have identified that as me?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Five, seven, six, seven, seven, nine, eight. I can't even call in a fraudulent sign down.
You got to work on that accent.
75% of all right, the calls
you do it,
were
you
fraudulent.
Do it, you do it. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. My eyes are closed. 311. Hi. Can I help you?
Yes. There is a sign down at 33rd.
Is that Dana Wright?
Jeez. Dana?
Why is the sign down
down
here?
No, not Dana.
Dana?
This is not. No. This no, it is not.
Is this D-Dub?
No, it is not.
D-Dub?
No, it is not.
Her accent just changed mid-phone call.
Wait, are you Southern or British?
Deep Purple right there, because they're awesome. This person's going to go by the name of City Worker in North Kansas City. Hello, City Worker.
Hello, sir.
Hi.
I worked with those gentlemen in another area of public works.
Okay.
When we heard about it, we were just like, for what? Why? Because we'd already done the math. I'd been there 30-some years. Don't know why they did it. But they lost a whole lot more than 6 months in jail.
Mm.
Some of them lost their houses. They all lost their pension. Some of them had deep double digits looking for retirement kind of time.
Then why do... That's what I keep going back to. And at the time when the story broke that this had happened... Why would you put so much on the line for so little?
I don't know. You're talking about a human.
Yeah.
Who knows? You know, I mean, why does the child touch a flame when you tell him it's hot? You know?
So stupid.
Can you tell us, is there GPS or does it exist in all city
vehicles? Okay. All city vehicles have GPS and you have classes on the GPS.
So they would have known.
They all know it's there.
They know it's there.
Yes. That GPS is so good on the plow trucks, it'll tell you if the plow is up or down.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. When it's working. You know, the city bought it.
And you claim that you claim, city worker, that you know these six men, or at least some of these six men. Is that correct?
Yes, I do.
And did you know them to be honest and hardworking, or were you always suspicious?
Yes, no. The ones that I know are tough. We did jobs that people don't even know the city does that type of work. You know, big jobs and hard, pouring concrete and doing things.
So, city worker, if you didn't know any better about what they had done wrong, you would vouch for their character.
If I didn't know about the situation?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Definitely would.
You would say these are good, honest, hardworking guys, and I would stand by them every time if I could.
The two that I know, yes.
You knew two of the six. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Were you ever? Go ahead.
I just retired. I'd had enough of the city government.
Mm-hmm. They apparently had not.
Apparently, they're going to find out a whole lot more about government.
Yeah. So
if you work in a public works department like they did, and apparently you did, you get convicted on the federal level, you lose your pension, right, from the city.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where do they go from here? Let's say they don't get any prison time. Let's say they get public service and a fine.
Mm-hmm.
Where do they find work again? They are federally convicted.
Well, they could possibly actually go back to the city.
How so?
Well, because there is a thing, the city, if I remember right, they have done away with the felony can't be hired.
Well,
because they stole from the city, they probably won't.
Yeah.
But any other municipality, they may be able to.
Yes, may, if you didn't Google their names. I mean, that's where this comes in. It's one thing that we ban the box and you don't have to check that you have a felony. But I highly doubt they're going to be employable in another city government, but we'll see.
Definitely not Kansas City, would you argue?
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. All right. Hey, city worker, do appreciate the call.
Thank you.
I just saw this story from Fox 4. A teacher in Shawnee Mission School District quit her job Monday night amid ongoing contract negotiations.
Oh, yeah, she quit.
Yeah. Amanda Kaufman stepped to the podium during the Board of Education meeting and gave an emotional farewell speech. Quoting here from Amanda Kaufman, "Teaching is like a bad marriage. You never get your needs met, but you stay in it for the kids." Kaufman compared her interactions with the district to a bad relationship. "You aren't listening," she said as she looked at the Board of Education. "When you fail to show up for the conversation and you sent your lawyer instead, I finally understood this just isn't going to work. The kids and I deserve better."
You know, the students have been involved in some protests and a walkout over the teacher dispute, Scott. The district did come out today and say, because I think they were offered a 1% raise this year, and then it goes, I think, to 1.25, and then one something like, it's not a lot.
And the teachers union wanted 1.5 each year.
Correct. And so the district or the school board came out today and said, that is all financially we were able to do. We all wish we could do more. I wish we could pay teachers $100,000 a year.
But the super's making $250,000.
I'm not justifying that salary. But they did respond today and say, we did everything that we could do.
A 1% pay raise and then a 1.5?
1.25, I think.
That's garbage. Here's her. You guys want to hear a little bit of her speech?
Oh, it's, yeah.
Here, listen. This is Amanda Kaufman.
"Several years ago, a good friend decided to leave education. And she said to me, Amanda, teaching is like a bad marriage. You never get your needs met, but you stay in it for the kids. I didn't fully understand what she meant until this past month. Just like a bad relationship, our communication has broken down. You aren't listening. I thought that maybe like a troubled relationship, we could go to counseling, get an outside perspective to work out our differences. But when you failed to show up to the conversation, but sent your lawyer instead, I finally understood that this just isn't going to work. The kids and I deserve better. Despite the accusation that we as teachers have not been focused on the students during this difficult year, I've been thinking the most about what my students are taking away from watching the way you treat their teachers. Talking to the board or the administrators in this building is like shouting into the wind, and I won't waste my breath. But I would like to address my students, many of whom are watching the live stream tonight. All right, guys, you all know that the most important lesson I want you to take away from your time with me is just because you can doesn't mean you should. Usually I'm applying that lesson to technology violations or intellectual bullying. But it's true in life as well. I could accept this contract, smile, and stay silent about the lies the district perpetuates about its teachers, but that doesn't mean I should. I hope that in your future relationships, whether they be personal or professional, that you will walk away when you should. Just because you can accept less for yourself doesn't mean you should. Here's another important lesson. Despite what you may be told, respect should not have to be earned. It is owed to you as a human being, especially by those who have power over you in some way. Disrespect in an uneven power dynamic is bullying. When we see bullying, we must stand up and call it out, even when it's hard, even when it comes at a cost. Just because you could stay silent doesn't mean you should.
Damn.
Starting over is never easy. You eighth graders know that well as you prepare for high school. Let me assure you, it only gets harder as you age. But just because you can stay in a familiar place doesn't mean you should.
Wow. Strong letter to follow. Hello. And she just quit? She's like, I'm done.
They have been very passionate about what is going on over there.
Oh, boy. Somebody writes in, Shawnee Mission is one, if not the highest paid districts
and
in the state of
Kansas.
And
that's the other point that the board came out and made today, because they did respond to this.
But
and they said,
don't insult me with a 1% pay.
I agree.
Increase.
They said, we wish we could do more. We want to do more. We can't do more. And that they are some of the highest paid across the state.
Somebody says, keep going. The end is the best. Hang on. Let me go to the very end here. Hang on. All right, here we go. Hang on just a second.
Bell rings at 8:40 tomorrow morning. But I won't be greeting you in the hallways. Please don't see my empty doorway as a sign that I've abandoned you or that I don't care. That empty doorway is my sign that you are still my favorite humans, and I will always be your biggest advocate. There will be no clarifying questions. I don't answer to you anymore.
Oh! Oh! Oh!
I think I just heard the mic hit the floor.
Oh! There will be no clarifying questions. I don't answer to you anymore. Mic drop. You can take this job and shove it. Oh! Now, you could make the argument, should she not have finished out the school year?
The fact finder report, and I'm just trying to present both sides because I am a huge advocate of better teacher pay, better hours. I don't think you should have to pay for your own school supplies, all of those things.
Mm.
But the district did come back and address this because that speech went viral for all of the reasons you
obvious reasons yeah.
that it should. They say that Shawnee Mission teachers earn more than $71,000 on average. They say it is 30% higher than the median average of all Kansas districts.
I don't believe that.
The lowest starting pay is about $43,000 according to the annual budget, with the majority of teachers earning less than $65,000 a year.
Mm.
I'm not saying they're right. I'm not saying they're wrong. That is the district's response to what happened here.
And we will continue to pay our superintendent $250,000 a year, and that position really means nothing.
across multiple districts who have multiple assistant superintendents as well.
They have seven assistant superintendents in Shawnee Mission.
They are too top heavy, and more of that money should go to the teachers.
That is a stone cold mic drop walkout. Now, whether you agree with her or not, and you're welcome to weigh in if you want.
How many people would have the you-know-whats to do that?
She did. 576-7798. There will be no follow-up questions. I don't answer to you anymore. 576-7798. Don't get me started, Texter, and I'm not going to start on one of my tirades, but I have argued for years that Kansas has 105 counties and 300-plus school districts, and we need to consolidate. But I'm not going to get into that because I'm better today, and I'm happier. Dennis in Bonner Springs. Hello, Dennis.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Well, we're doing well. Thank you, my friend.
You know, I think we really lost the scope of the whole idea of why we have these public school systems created. I really think we need to have some reform on how government spending is applied to our public schools. You know, I think about here recently, you know, we've lost scope of why they're actually going, what they're going for, the primary purpose. Recently, I was over at Mill Valley School delivering some stuff, and, you know, they're revamping the library in there to turn it more into for, like, coffee, donuts, and tea. You know, to be like what parents do when they go out with their friends. That's not why we're sending our kids to school. And they're spending lots of money to do this. And they're in conversations with them. We were talking about the football field because they were using our football field at Bonner Springs for quite a while they were building this new stuff out there and getting their field put together. You know, and Bonner Springs still operates out of a garage for their locker room, you know. Mm-hmm. But they're building or tearing down a perfectly good outhouse for the football team and building bigger now. You know, it just makes no sense why we waste this money. We're going to school to learn. Sports is secondary. Mm-hmm. We need to primarily take care of our teachers and make sure they have the funds so we got good, competent teachers in the system. And then also the materials that they need for the purpose of teaching and then deal with sports stuff later.
Well, I would actually, Dennis, if I may disagree with you, and I don't want to take anything away from the education provided at a school, but I think sports in high school is integral to the learning experience. It teaches teamwork, leadership. It allows some students to get scholarships that they otherwise would have never gotten to further their education.
Hard work, goals, all of that.
I think sports is integral.
But I would add clubs to that, Scott, not just sports.
And I agree with you, Dana. I think you're absolutely right. Whether it's chess club or
band,
I think these are critical components of a good education, and I think it's easy to kind of poo-poo the football team and the baseball team and the softball team and the volleyball team, but some of these kids are going to use these athletic abilities to go places they never would have gone before.
Some, not all. So,
I was going to a small percentage of them, yes.
But the others are going to learn leadership, camaraderie, how to be part of a team. To this day, I still have breakfast with my high school football coach, and I guarantee you I was not the best kid he ever coached.
Well, you know, that's great, but you know what? That's still the minority, the total population of the students that are in that school. The majority are the ones who are hurting by these teachers getting cut out of this funding. The minority, the minority is the sports teams. We need to put first things first and then deal with the sports.
Well, I would disagree with you on that as well. I mean, if you factor in the football team, the softball team, the volleyball team, the cheerleaders, the band, you're talking about probably more than half of the student body that is involved in an extracurricular activity, and I think that's healthy.
Not for their future. I mean, my wife isn't making a living throwing pom-poms around.
Except in the bedroom.
Wow. Wow, did you really just say that?
Do I have to dump that?
That doesn't even make sense.
He said pom-poms around, and I said in the bedroom. Why would you dump it?
I was kidding.
Oh. Anyway. Come on, that was funny. We got to get out of here. Dan Weinbaum's got the news here in just a moment. We may or may not be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in all of America, Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright, my co-host and good friend, I am Scott Parks. God willing, we will see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe and be good.
Curiosity.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.